Well, today is our last day in our book study of 1 John. But you look on your book here, this book covers 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. Now, 2nd, 3rd John are very brief little letters, but they are power-packed. Jude is an amazing letter. We'll go to it next. So, keep your book, and you will still be continuing, because we're going to be just kind of like an inchworm, inching our way through the study of these letters. But we're not in any hurry, are we? We don't need to be in any hurry, because we want God to speak to our hearts. Let's pray together this morning, and then we're going to finish up 1 John, and I'm so happy that you are here. Our Father, we bless your name together this morning. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your tender mercies that were ours as we opened our eyes this morning. Father, I thank you for this room, this place where we can come, sit around tables, open up the Word of Life, and let it get into our hearts. Father, I believe it's our greatest need to give attention to your Word, especially in our generation. So this morning we ask you, as we close the last few verses of this book, that you would speak very personally to us this morning, as only you can do through your Word. I thank you that it is a living book that we come to. It is unique. It's different than any other book in all of the world. It is anointed. It is powerful. And when it goes forth, it accomplishes the things that you want it to accomplish. And so, Father, we present our hearts to you this morning, and we ask you just to take your Word, cultivate it in our heart, that it might bear a fruit of righteousness, a whole crop of righteousness, that we would be women who bring glory and honor to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking in this section, if you'll look on your handout, that's just a scripture, 5th chapter, verses 13 through 21. This is a section. This is the summary section of John's little epistle of 1 John. We've been saying now, he's an old man now. He's a wise old man. He's a wise, godly old man. He is an actual eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very leader of one of the leaders of the disciples. And he was in the inner circle. He probably was the very closest to Jesus. He's the only apostle that is not martyred. All the others are. He dies in exile on the island of Patmos. And so John is summing up his letter, and he's telling us there are things that we can know, certainties in life that we can know. Actually, know is a key word in this little letter. It's seen 39 times in these five chapters. And in this last little section, verses 13 through 21, we see the word know 7 times. Now, you and I live in a world that is full of uncertainties. We live in a world where the mood of the day is relativism. A world of a million differing opinions. But as Christian women, we base our lives on what God has said in Scripture. We come to the Word of God, and we see the Word of God as the absolute truth. It is our foundation. It is our anchor. And so this last little summary section of this letter, John says to us, there are some things the Bible says that we can know, and know for certain. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of a review, because we've already seen two of those certainties. Let's just mention them, and then we're going to move on. The first thing we can know comes to us in verse 13, and let's just write it down. We can know for sure, for certain, that we have eternal life. I don't have to guess about it. John says you can know this. You can have assurance that you truly are saved. Look at verse 13, and this is what John says. These things, everything I've written in this letter, and by the way, this letter was full of little tests. There were doctrinal tests, moral tests. You've got to believe the right thing about who Jesus is, and then you've got to live a certain way. It manifests in a life of obedience, a life of love to God, and love to others. And you don't love the things of the world. That's all proof in your life. If you think rightly about Christ, and if those other things are in your life, that helps you know, yes, I am truly saved. Go back to the verse. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Why did you write this letter, John? He says, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The Lord wants us to be certain about that. Now, it took me 2 weeks to cover that first principle. Just one little verse. See, I'm slow. And I'm so tempted. I want to teach it all over again, but I can't. Let's go to the second one. We saw this last week and the week before. It took me 2 weeks to teach this. And here's the second thing we can know. We know we have our prayers answered. Now, this one was my favorite. I can't quit thinking about this one. Look at verse 14. This is the confidence. That word confidence in the Greek means to speak boldly. This is the confidence which we have before Him, and that would be before God, that if we ask anything according to His will, just circle that word anything. I mean, my gosh, that is stunning. If I ask anything, this is a blank check in prayer for us. If I ask anything according to His will, that's the qualification there. If I ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. Now here's the deal. You and I get born again and we're saved. We receive eternal life. I'm saved. I have life. There's also stored up for me in the future the fullness of that eternal life, right? In heaven. So from the point I'm saved to the time I get to heaven to receive the fullness of my inheritance, there's a meantime. Have you noticed in the meantime in our lives we have problems? Have you? I know I have. I don't know about you. Troubles, trials, distresses, anxieties, needs. So here's the deal about the meantime. While I'm waiting for that inheritance and the fullness of it, while I'm experiencing the troubles in the meantime, God has given us a divine resource for us to use, and it's prayer. What do I do about the problem? What did I do about the distresses? What do I do? Well, I go directly to the throne of God in prayer, and at that place I find grace, I find mercy, I find help to meet my every need. What a blessing prayer is. I'm just so tempted to stay here, but I can't. I've got to move on. But let me give you just a few words of review. We saw last week, God told us that in prayer, we are given a blank check. Wow, what a promise. He just gives us this blank check. We fill in the blank as long as it is according to His will. By the way, where would I go to find out if what I'm praying is according to His will? Where would I go? Where is His will written down in black and white for me? In the Bible. You see, the prayer and Bible, they really are completely connected. Now, it really I can't think of any promise better than that in the Bible. And I've just been telling myself all week, this is something I know. I know I can come to Him. I know I can pray. I know I can obtain help, grace, mercy, answers, provision, because God has promised, God has obligated Himself to answer the prayer of Christians. It's something I can speak boldly before Him about. He's given it to me to keep me from getting discouraged. But what about those people, Teresa, that I have really been praying for and I don't see God answering in their life? Well, there is one exception, and He gives us that one exception here in 1 John. It comes in verse 16. But I want to say before I read it, it's not the rule of prayer. It's just the exception. I can't talk this morning. Exception. Look at what it is. Verse 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin. Do Christians commit sin? Yes. Yes. We can commit sin. Is your heart grieved when you see your Christian sister, your Christian brother, and they're getting off track in their Christian life? You're like, well, I'm praying for you. If you see your brother committing a sin, and then he says, it's a sin not leading to death. Well, that's an odd thing. He shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit a sin not leading to death. Praise God that God doesn't just strike us dead after we're born again when we mess up, right? Pray for your brothers and sisters who are getting off track. But look what he says. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. And then he says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. Thank God that my sin is covered, and when I mess up, the blood of Jesus is cleansing me, keeping me righteous. And yes, pray for me, and I'm praying for you. But know this in your prayer, that there is a sin that leads to death. What is that sin? We looked at it in our lesson, and you cannot just specifically say it is this. Only God can know in a person's life when the sin has gone too far. I can't go over it again. Listen on Bragging Post. But let me just sum up what he's saying about prayer in this section. He says, you have access. Now listen, I'm telling you this morning, you have access to all of God's resources through prayer. Do you believe that? I'm telling you this morning that God will hear you and God will answer you if you are praying according to His will. Unless there's one exception. You're praying for someone to be restored or to be healed, and it's a sin that they've committed unto death, and God will not answer that prayer. So don't let it discourage you in your praying. Now, Teresa, how do I know? Well, you don't. Only God can see the heart of a person. You just keep on praying. So pray, God will hear, God will answer, unless it falls into that one category of divine judgment where God really is unable to answer that prayer. But that is just the exception. The main point is God has obligated Himself to hear the prayers of His children, and He answers them. And you can be confident that you're going to receive what you ask for in His will. Now, we've got three more we're going to cover fast this morning. Read verse 18 with me. Verse 18 says, we know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Now, Teresa, what is this verse saying? Well, let's just write down the thought, and then we're going to discuss it. So write this down. We know we have victory over sin as Christian women. I'm going to take you to Ephesians 2 and hear my testimony. It's your testimony too. Ephesians 2, verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's right. That's right. That's my testimony. I was dead. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I was a group of people on the earth called the Walking Dead, and I was just walking through this world. Look at verse 2. In which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Furthermore, look at verse 3. We lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath. Before we were born again, that was our story. And the truth is, you had no other choice but to sin. All you did is sin. Sin, sin, sin. That's my story. That's your story. That's the whole world's story. Now look down at the second half of verse 19. It says there, I'm back in 1 John now. The whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. They are captive to do his will. You see, the whole world is in the lap of Satan. But praise God, that's not the end of our story. Let's go back to Ephesians 2. Look at verse 4. It says this, but God. Oh, I love those two words. But God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, speaking of Jesus, and seated us with him. And if you go on in that chapter to verse 8, a very familiar verse, for by grace you were saved, you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now go back to verse 18 in 1 John 5. It says there, no one who is born of God sins. What is that saying? Because I just told you a minute ago, we all mess up, don't we? No one that's born of God sins. No. Do you know what it's speaking about here? No one born of God, listen very carefully, will sin as a habit of life. The pattern of sin is broken when you become born again. Praise God for that. Because in the new birth, listen carefully, God has set you free from sin and death. Do you remember how we've been saying this little letter of 1 John, that John is cycling through the same subjects over and over? I want to take you back to John 3 and look at two little verses where he's speaking about the same thing. Look on your handout at it. The Son of God, who is that? Jesus appeared for this purpose. Jesus, why did you come? Look at it. To destroy the works of the devil. Wow. And no one who is born of God practices as a habit of life sin. Why? It's because I've been born again. Look, his seed abides in me. I can't sin because I'm born of God. He changes me when I get saved. Now, I am not perfect. I know you think I am, but I'm really not. Just talk to Bill. But here's the deal, and I've been saying this all through the book of 1 John. It's not about me being perfect. It's not perfection. It's direction, remember? The direction of my life is God. Righteousness, not sin. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us in the new birth. He gives us obedient hearts. He takes away our stony hearts of unbelief, and he gives us these fleshy hearts that long to obey our beautiful Lord. And again, it isn't that we never sin again. It isn't that we never mess up again. It's that the sin pattern is broken in our lives. We no longer live the way we did when we were in the devil's camp. Now that's what verse 18 is telling us. We know that no one, it says, who is born of God sins, in the sense of sinning as a continual pattern or habit of life. Now go back to the verse. Verse 18, 1 John 5. It says, but he who was born of God keeps him. Keeps the person who got saved. Who? Let me ask you a question. Who is the person who was born of God? He who was born of God keeps him. Who are we talking about there? Who is the son that was born of God? Who? Jesus. That's talking about Jesus. Now listen. Study your Bible with me. We don't sin because we've been born again. We've been given new life that's characterized by righteousness. And furthermore, John says, we're kept. We're kept by the very one born of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're kept from the evil one. Can I tell you this morning, if you're saved, Satan has no grip on you. No hold whatsoever. Look at what it says. He keeps us. And the evil one does not touch him. We have victory because we died to that former bondage of our old life. We have a new master. There's a new life principle that's springing up in our lives. And you can never fall back into that former life again. It cannot happen if you're truly saved. Why? It's because he who was born of God keeps us. This is the work of Christ. He keeps us. He holds on to us. He keeps us from falling back into sin's dominion. We'll never go back to Satan's kingdom. Now, he may allow Satan to mess with us like he did with Peter. Do you remember when Jesus came to Peter and he told Peter, Peter, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat. Do y'all remember that? And you know what? Peter was sifted. But it only made Peter stronger. It didn't make him fall back to his old ways. Jesus said, when it's over, Peter, you're going to come out of it and you'll be able to strengthen the brethren. And then there's this man named Job in the Bible. Do you remember his story? Do you remember how Satan went before the throne of God and wanted to have Job? And what did Satan do? Satan allowed God allowed Satan to do some things in Job's life, didn't he? But Job's faith never failed. He never went back. It strengthened him. It made him stronger. And then I was thinking about Paul. Because you remember in Paul's life, gosh, he's so awesome. Paul is so awesome. And God allowed a messenger of Satan called a thorn in the flesh to torment Paul. Paul prayed three times, God, please remove that. God, please remove that. And God didn't. You know why? God knew Paul needed that to humble him. Because without that thorn in the flesh, Paul would have exalted himself in pride. And so Paul learned in his spiritual weakness to be strong. Look on your, I love this verse. I absolutely love this verse. This is a verse you need to put on a card and put on your steering wheel. It comes out of 2 Timothy 4:18. I want you to just let this verse land on your heart this morning. It says this, the Lord will deliver me from how many? every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. You are safe in the arms of Jesus. What a promise. You're secure forever because Jesus is keeping us. Now here comes the fourth thing we can know. Write it down. We know we belong to God. And we're going to go to verse 19 now. It really says the same thing in a different way. Look at verse 19. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power or the lap of the evil one. Now, let me tell you something that's a truth. There are two kingdoms in just two and only two. You're either in one or the other. What two kingdoms are there? Number one, there's the world system of evil, and Satan is the king of that system. Now, I'm not talking about the physical earth. I'm talking about the world system of evil. And that's the system that I was reading about in Ephesians 2 when I was telling you my testimony. That's where I used to be. I was in that kingdom. I'm not anymore. Because now I'm in this kingdom, the kingdom of God. Put it down on your handout. Now look at verse 19 again. It says, the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. And that means the human system, everything about our human system, the economics, the politics, the education, the entertainment, everything. Don't you sense it being under the world system of evil? It's a completely contaminated system. But you and I have eternal life. You and I have divine access to God's throne. You and I have had sin's pattern and habit broken in our life. You and I belong to God. And that is opposite of everything in the world around us. The world does not have eternal life. They do not have access to God in prayer. God is not obligated to hear a thing the world asks for. The world is dominated by evil. They belong to Satan. So be certain of this. You can know you're in God's kingdom. You are his beloved child. He's giving you eternal life. Now let's go to the Gospel of John for a minute, written by the same apostle. I want you to look at verse 12 out of chapter 1. For as many as received him, well, that's us. We've received him. What do we get? Well, let's look. To them, he, God, gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were not born of blood. We're not Jews. We're not in the Israeli nation, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God's will. Now, one final thing, quickly, that we can know. And then we're going to be done. Put down number 5. We know that Christ is the true God. And so John ends his letter the very same way that he began his letter. He began in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1 saying that we saw him, speaking of Jesus. We heard him. We touched him. We saw the living eternal life. We saw the God the Father manifested in his Son. He was speaking of the transfiguration. And he's going to end where he began. Look at verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And because of all that, he ends with this in our final verse, because we know him, little children, guard yourself from idols. Don't let yourself get sucked in to following any other supposed God, because we know the Son of God has come. Our faith is not a theory. Our faith is based on abiding reality. He has come, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a substitutionary death, was risen literally from the grave, has ascended to the right hand of God the Father, where he is right now interceding for us, and someday he will come back to this earth again. We know that he has come, but we know that he has given us understanding so that we might know him. And all the other gods are just imposters. God is revealed in his Son alone. So John is just saying, don't let anything allow you to be separated from Christ. Don't let anything influence you. He is the true God. So stay away from idols. And his summary ends. We know we have eternal life. We know our prayers are answered. We know we have victory over sin. We know we truly do belong to God. And we know that he is the true God and eternal life. And if I know all of those things, what is it going to produce in my life? It's going to produce, and I want you to write it down, great joy in my heart. You see, he said in 1 John 1:4, and I think I put it on your handout, did I? These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. You're full of joy because you know things. You know things. Now, next week we're going to start in the little book of 2 John. So, I don't know what page. Let's look and see. Look in your book and let me show you what page our homework will start on. 85, is that what you said? Page 85, you might want to look at it. And so just start working that chapter, and I don't know how long it'll take me to get through that chapter, but we'll see. Because I'm never ahead. I'm always, you know, one week I'm going to really get in trouble because I'm always at the last minute. But we've got a few more questions in our homework I want you to discuss. We have a few minutes around our table. I've got them listed on your handout. So discuss those few questions at the end of your on their handout. I'll come up and close us in a word of prayer. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, thank you for the beauty of the day, the beauty of your word, the beauty of Christ in the lives of these women. God, thank you for your word to us this morning, for the things that we can know. Now may we walk out of here and live in light of those things. May we believe you fully. We just bless your name together. We pray that you will speak powerfully through Brother Greg to our hearts this morning. And we thank you for our many blessings. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. Do your homework.